Amen. Amen. Turn with me over to the book of Colossians, if you would, please. The greetings I gave you earlier from Pastor Belinda and Alexia. They're working from about 9 in the morning till 9:30 in the evening. The school is very intensive. It'll be 90 days from August 24th to November 24th. They get Mondays off. And I said to Belinda, well, how are you doing? And she said, well, remember my saying. And I said, yeah, help me though remember. And she said, well, there's no rest for the wicked and the righteous don't need any. So the power of God is there. And they were a little weary at first because Belinda was sick and wasn't really feeling well. But she pressed through and didn't miss anything. And now she's feeling good, and they're on a roll. Now they're doing just fine. But I got up at 3 in the morning on Friday, and she took me to the airport in Panama City. I flew then to Dallas-Fort Worth, flew from Dallas-Fort Worth to South Bend. I drove from South Bend up to home. I got home, and my neighbor Pete was out in his lawn. We got to greet him. And so I put on a clean shirt and went over to Kalamazoo because they had the Kingdom Apostolic Network of pastors and leaders in this region meeting over there. And it was a glorious time. There's really some great things. I'll be sharing some things from there tonight at 6 o'clock. But it was a great time of meeting with the people who are involved in leadership in Southwest Michigan. So Daniel and Valerie Cunningham from Greater Faith Empowerment Center were leading that, and they send their greetings to our church as well and appreciate our people being there too. And then I came back and was able to get some rest last night. I did stay in Kalamazoo Friday night, so that was a help for me. But hallelujah, how many know it's good to be 72 and full of energy? Hallelujah. Amen. It's good. And God's power and grace are coming to his church in this day. And we're going to finish our destiny, folks. Amen. We're going to finish our destiny. And we're going to finish the purposes of God in our life. So if you're there in Colossians, it's chapter 1. We're going to read 10 verses 19 through 29. And I really do believe for a grace required for the race you're in to come to you today, you're going to be blessed by the hand of God. I felt his presence from the very first moment I stepped on the grounds today. And there's something very special about this time of life that you're in. And God is moving by his grace. That's the ability God gives us to do things we couldn't do ourselves. And 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that all grace will come. God is able to make all grace abound towards you and me, that we always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And I really believe that the name of our church, Grace, has a special meaning for this period and season of time. How many have looked around and there's a lot of things that need to be brought into alignment with the will of God? Amen. Our bodies, our minds, our relationships. And God is moving to identify himself to us in a very special way in this season to cause the alignment to come into his will so that his kingdom comes to earth as in heaven. So let's read from Colossians. This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the Colossians. He says in verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus, "all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." Do you see anything around you that needs to be brought into alignment with God, needs to be reconciled to God? So Christ has already done that in his sacrifice on the cross through the blood of his cross, and we are simply learning to participate with the Christ within us to see that come to pass in our lives. It says he's made peace by the blood of his cross, and that we can move on then to verse 21, and he says, "And you," and this means you today. This verse is about you. He says, "And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. How many remember those days? Ooh, boy, don't like to remember those, but I do. He says, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight. Almost beyond our comprehension. It's hard for me. When I was singing over there, you're holy, 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 I was thinking, yeah, he is, but I'm not. And the Lord said, no, by my blood you are. By my blood you've been redeemed. By my blood I've released all judgments against you, and I have brought you into an intimacy with me through which you can receive my life in you because of my blood on the cross and my living resurrected life. I can bring you close to me. I can reconcile you to myself. And he says, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith. If you continue in the faith. See, this is our salvation in Christ, our identity in God, is a matter of continuation in confessing and believing that what God has said about us is true. And he says here, we should be grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. He goes on to talk about himself a little bit. He says, I now rejoice in my suffering for you. He got in trouble for preaching the gospel, got thrown in jail, got beat up. Things are easier on us preachers these days. But, I mean, we may pick up a little criticism. We may have people say that they don't really like us or something. I was in a meeting this weekend with a pastor, Assembly of God pastor from Tucson, Arizona. He was our main speaker over there. And his name is Brother Zane Anderson. And he's pastored a 5,000-member church there in Tucson. But when he first went there, it was 600 people. And he said, I quickly reduced it to 300. And the former pastor of that church had become the district superintendent. And so people were writing letters to the district superintendent saying, get this guy out of here. We want our old pastor back. In fact, they wrote notes on his windshield that said, we don't like you, we don't want you here, and we didn't vote for you. And pastors have a little rough time of it now and then in this era in the United States of America. But we're not getting our heads cut off and we're not being thrown in jail. So I rejoice that I'm suffering for Jesus in Southwest Michigan. But Paul says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fulfill in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. The body of Christ is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. There's a mystery that's been revealed to his saints. If it's Jesus, I want to talk to him. If it's not, we'll take care of it. Hallelujah. Not an issue. Not a problem for me. Praise God. And I hope I turned mine off. If it rings, it's Belinda and she's looking for me. But anyway, the Lord Jesus is not nervous. He's not deaf. And he's not interrupted or disturbed. He knows right where he's headed, and I do too. So here we go. So we come to verse 27, which is, to the God, to them, that means to us. We're talking about the mystery now revealed. And listen to this, Deborah, you're going to really like this part. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of his mystery among the Gentiles. The mystery among the Gentiles. Who's a Gentile? Got any Jews here? No, we're all in as Gentiles. So it's revealed to us this mystery. And this is the mystery. Christ is in you. And because Christ is in you, there is a hope of glory. What is the glory? Remember when they hid Moses in the cleft of the rock, he passed by him and he showed him his goodness and his name. He said, I'm going to reveal to you who I am to you. Because Christ is in you, God is something to you. He's your Father. He's your healer. He's your sanctifier. He is your blesser. He's your provider. He is the one who brings righteousness to you. He is the lily of the valley, the bright morning star. He's the illumination of the God kind of life. He's the all in all. Hallelujah. And we have life because Christ is in us. It's a mystery, but it's true. It's a mystery, but it's revealed. It's hidden in the ages past, but now is revealed by preachers who have an insight to believe this is true. I believe this is true. I can preach it because I believe it. I can preach it because I've experienced it. I can preach it because I've tried it, and his name is faithful and true. He will always deliver me from every evil work and preserve me under the heavenly kingdom. If there's a battle that I fight and I lose, I still win because I end up in eternity, which resolves all things. Say this with me. Everything is resolved in eternity. I have eternal life now. Therefore, I don't have any problems that are not already resolved. It's only a matter of time. Hallelujah. So he says, verse 8, he says, him we preach. It's good to preach Jesus. It's good to just declare him. Just tell people he's alive. And he'll show up. He'll do something. I was over there today. I was just interceding. I said, God, touch your people. Oh, God, heal your people. God. And he's like, cut it out. I'm doing it. He said, just stop already. What do you think? I don't want to visit? You just think I don't want to touch them? You don't think I've showed up and I'm here? Relax, Pastor. Relax. Let me do the work here. So I just leaned back. Said, thank you, Jesus. Amen. And I just really believe you felt the presence of God. I believe God shifted things in the heavens for you. I believe your mind was renewed just a little bit more. That unbelief dropped off a little and faith came. And you got a little bit more hope than you had before. You have a little bit more understanding than you had before. A little bit more revelation. And I believe all the old creaky bones got a little juice between them. There was cartilage. I felt cartilage, especially in the lower back on the right-hand side. I felt cartilage being created there to spread things out a little bit and let your nerves work right so strength returns to your legs. Who will take that? I know you'll take some of that. Take some. Woo, look at that. Everybody. I felt heart. I felt people's hearts. Actually, the veins of the heart, arteries of the heart being cleaned out. I know you ate a lot of bad stuff. I was watching over there and the Lord was taking that fat and stuff out. He said, I know they ate a lot of bad stuff. But I'm going to give them another opportunity to care for their temple. I'm just going to clean things up. You can breathe again. You won't be as short of breath. You'll be able to take those stairs, rump down. There's cartilage. There's tendons being loosened in the hands. I golfed 18 holes with Prophet Jimmy Kellett down there. I scored a 110. I get golf is a very economical game for me. I get more strokes per dollar than anybody else. I'm very economical at golf. It's a wonderful sport for me. I feel very good about the cost per stroke. It's probably pretty some of the lowest on the course, so I'm proud of that. Praise God. But I got up the next day and my hand was stiff. My knuckles were a little bit swelled up, and I was like, wow, you know. And a little voice in the back of my head says, well, you know, you are 72 years old. And I said, shut up. That's not the voice of God. The voice of God is, I am your healer. I've looked ahead and made provision for. He knew I was going to be sore after playing golf. He knew you would fall down. He knew that that strain would happen. He knew that that crick in the neck would come. He's already been in your future, and he's already prepared the answer before you got to the problem. Jehovah Jireh, the God who looks ahead and makes provision for. That's what his name means. He's already been in your future. He'll go back in your past. He'll cleanse your past. He'll clean you up and disconnect your past from your future. I was standing there and the Lord said, say this to people today. This is for somebody. Yesterday was yesterday. Today is today. He said, tell them yesterday was yesterday, and it doesn't count for nothing because it's gone. It's under my blood. Yesterday was yesterday, but today is today. I'll take that myself. Hallelujah. Him we preach, warning every man. You know, there is a message of warning. Your wicked ways will separate you from the glory of God. Sin, you'll come short of the glory. I may be short in stature, but I'm tall in the glory of God. Amen. Short people can be tall. I don't come short of the glory. You understand what I mean. Your wicked ways are leading to eternal separation from God. Ezekiel 3:18 tells us that if we don't warn people, their blood's on our hands. We have an obligation to speak up. We have to love people enough to warn them. We don't have to condemn them. They're condemned already. Jesus didn't come to condemn. But to share the light that people would know where they're headed and be able to turn around. And he says here, we warn every man and teach every man in all wisdom. So the ministry that's been given to us is to warn and to teach. That we may present every man, I'm sure it means person, every person perfect or mature. Let me say this about perfection. Maturity in the Bible refers to your intentional, prevalent practice of morality. We all sin and come short of the glory of God. John says in 1 John chapter 1, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth isn't in us. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me, which means there's a point of time in each day we really need to repent. We need to live in an attitude of repentance to be quickly corrected. But our intentional, prevalent behavior is our practice of faith. How many don't make it a practice of lying? It's not your practice. That's not your intentional, prevalent behavior. But how many have caught yourself? Oops. And I could go down the list. All the works of the flesh. The devil didn't make you do it. It's your flesh. Yeah. And we have to deny ourselves, our self-life, our selfishness, our sins, and follow him. Don't cut yourself off from the glory of God. Be faithful to ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Get back on track and make sure that you're practicing righteousness, that your practice, which is your intentional, prevalent behavior, is righteousness. Amen? Don't go around condemned. Just repent, believe God, ask for forgiveness, and get back on track. And learn to do it quickly, quickly, quickly. So he says here, to this end, verse 29, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Now, I want to go back to verse 27 a minute. This is the main theme of today's message. God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among you and me, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want to bring another message today. If I had to title this message, it would be Living in the Identity God Gave You. I've been preaching on this for about a month, every Sunday. The sermons are on the website. If you go there under messages, you can find them. If you're struggling with your identity in Christ, really go back and listen to those. But today's message, a subtitle might be The Secret of Living Free from the Law of Sin and Death and Living Intimately Engaged to the Spirit of Life in Christ. You know, Jesus is our bridegroom. We should have an intimate relationship with Him. He's called the Word of God. Anytime you spend time in the Word, you're entering into an intimacy with Jesus, the Savior. And that intimacy with the Spirit of Life in Christ within us. How many have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you know that by the Holy Spirit, Christ is within you? Amen? He's in us. By the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ. Now, Jesus has a real body. He's on the right hand of God. So Jesus isn't in here. It's not some little Jesus in there. It's the Holy Spirit revealing the Spirit of Christ, the Word of God to us. And the Bible says, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. So Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are in us by the Spirit of Christ. That intimacy with the Spirit of Christ within us, that Word of God within us, is the secret. It's often called the mystery of Christ in us, the hope of glory. That is the secret. You and I are being empowered by His life in us to see and to choose the ever-increasing kingdom life, the God kind of life. I call the Zoe, which is the Greek word for life of God in the Bible. It's Zoe, the God kind of life. You can say that with me, the God kind of life. Amen. The God kind of life is within us, deposited in us by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ is in us. And that's why there's a hope of glory, a hope of the manifestation of the presence of God. That's your identity, Deborah. That's who you are. You are a daughter of the Most High God, Jesus Christ Himself. Father God Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself are in your spirit because your spirit has been born again. And if the virtue of Christ is in us, then right now, put your hand on your heart if you want to. Say, Jesus, I release your healing virtue into every cell of my body. Bring every cell into subjection to your word, that by your stripes I am healed. Release healing to me right now. Hallelujah! you gotta talk yourself into wholeness. Amen. Same thing's true with your mind, right? Isaiah said He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes we're healed. I receive communion every day. And when I do, I receive the body of the Lord broken for me. I receive my iniquities purged. I receive my sins forgiven. I receive the peace of God in my mind. And I receive the healing virtue in my body. Then I receive the blood. And I say the blood of Jesus is upon me, within me, all around me, between me and evil and the author of evil. I walk around in the blood of Jesus. Sometimes you gotta. I asked a Lutheran guy one time, I said, do you have Jesus in your heart? My early days when I thought I knew everything. He said, well, the question is he coming out? Yeah, is he coming out? Is he coming through?
Is he coming up out of your spirit into your mind and renewing your mind? Is he flowing out through your veins and your bloodstreams carrying healing to your body? Is your identity in Christ manifesting in the rest of your life by choosing to acknowledge who he is in you? You and I are being empowered by his life to choose the God kind of life through the Spirit of Jesus in us. The secret to living a God kind of life where the Lord is my shepherd and I'm hearing his voice and the word of God in me, just like King David said, I hear somebody speaking. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Oftentimes when I want, I look in the mirror and say, wow, who have you been listening to? Lord, let's hear your voice. We need to know God and know who we are, know why we're here, know where we're going, know what we're trying to do. It's called being led by the steps of God. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Listen to that again real carefully. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. I love it how sometimes the scripture is written in a way to have double interpretation. He delights in his way. Is the he, me, delighting in his way? Or is the he, him, delighting in my way? I really think it's both. I think God delights in my way, and I think I delight in his way, and I think I'm abiding in him and walking in the way. He's called the way, the truth, and the life. He'll walk me out of any difficulty. If I find myself in the basement in the dark, he will turn the light on, give steps up, and I'll come right up those steps. God will give me a way of escape. He is a good God. He is a great God. He is a mighty God, and he is a faithful God, and he will speak to you out of the inner man and lead you in paths of righteousness. Let me say this about steps. It takes two steps to determine a direction. Stay with me now. So I'm right here. If I'm going to go this way, there's one step is the one I'm on. And then the next step, these are the steps ordered by the Lord. Sometimes I don't see much beyond that, but right now I'm seeing, well, I could be this way, or I could step that away, but I need God to tell me where that next step is. But before, watch this now, before I can take that step right, I have to have my balance on the leg I'm on the where I am. A lot of times the reason God isn't telling you the next step is that you're not really positioned very well on the step you're on. You're not maybe following the commands of the Lord where you are. You haven't stabilized yourself in the position he's already has you in order to lead you to the next step. And I really believe that the identity of Christ in you, revealing to you who you are right now where you are, stabilizing you right now where you are, so that he can, from a firm foundation of your life, where you are right now, give you a revelation of that next step, may be where some of us are. I've found that where I am is where I start from. It's like, wow, that's not rocket science. You'd be surprised the number of people that cannot be satisfied where they are, cannot receive much from God where they are. They just haven't figured out where to be where they are. And they think that somehow God is going to translate them over, that they're not going to have to step. They're not going to have to move to the next level. It's actually another level they're looking for. And I tell you, that'll get you in some really serious and big trouble. I have found that God will begin where I am, right where I am. He will stabilize me where I am. And when I've passed certain tests about being faithful where I am, that's when he gives me that next step to move to where he wants me to be. You can always prepare for the next step where you are. and get ready to move there. Our church has bought some land out here in a different part of the city, out in Royalton Township, and we're preparing for that next step. But we must work diligently to do the work of the ministry here as we prepare to move out there. You know, we've actually had some people come, it's been a while now, but some people have come into the church and said, wow, well, when you get your new building built, we'll come out there. And I'm like, what, really? The presence of the Lord's here. The family of God's here. The people love you here. We've got pretty good word here. I mean, I'm not really a bad preacher. I'm probably not the best rounder, but I'm okay. You know, I got pretty good stuff. And I love you. I love people. I love ministering to people. And yet, there, you know, so I said to the Lord, Lord, those people are leaving. I need them. It's like, you don't need them. You need me. You need me. That's who you need. You need me. And I will connect you to the people who are supposed to be with this family. And they'll be with you. They'll come. Quit sweating that stuff. And just be willing, be obedient, be kind, and release the blessing of the Lord to all who come here. So we're building a new facility, and we'll let you know how all that turns out as we go forward. I don't know whether it'll be a year or two or how long it'll be, but we're dedicated to the idea that God would like a community center built out there in Royalton Township. Now let me bring this passage of scripture back to your life just for 1 minute. When we really know God, who is in me intimately enough to muse with him. You know that word muse? It means to kind of visit, have a talk, have a discussion. And here I'll leave you with this thought. If you don't learn to think with God, you will never learn to think like God. To have the God kind of life, we have to think like God. Our mind has to be renewed. We have to think differently about a lot of things. A lot of things. How many would like to move to a next glory of God? Amen. A next manifestation of the life of God in their life. Well, if you just keep thinking like you're thinking, you won't move there. To move with God in this season, and I'm praying that the grace of God will come on to you as we go through these sermons, but to move from where you are to the next level of glory is going to require you to think differently about God, about yourself, about who you are in Christ, about who he is in you, to see the manifestations that you want to see. How many have prayed for signs, wonders, and miracles? You'll see more as you get very intimate with God and believe who he is. Would you stand with me, please? Let's pray and believe God today. God says this in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. So how many understand that the thoughts of God and the ways of God are above our ways and our thoughts? That's easy, right? But how many also believe that in 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 12, it says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which was ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, or if they had known it, they had not crucified the Lord Jesus. But as it is written, every eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him? But the things have not been revealed by man or by people in this age.
It says, verse 10, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So if you have the Spirit of God, you know all things. You just have to ask him. You have to muse with him. You have to ask him the way out. You have to ask him what to do next. He says, now, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that God, that have been freely given to us by God. Living in the identity God gave us is not trying to become someone we are not. It is trying to discover who we are in him. Let me say that one last time and I'll let you go. I promise. I'm so far into this idea that Christ is in me and there's great hope of glory. Christ is in me. I'm the healed of God. Christ is in me. I find my divine connections for my next promotion. I'm so into this idea that with Christ in me, there's nothing impossible. That I want you to get it for this season of your life. Things are getting bad out there, but they're getting really good in here. And in you is where the hope of glory is. Living in the identity God gave us is not trying to become something you are not, but it is discovering who God made you and me to be. And you will fulfill all the purpose of God. Everything that's written in the book in heaven concerning you shall come to pass because Christ is in you. There is a hope of glory. Father, I thank you for your people, your glorious people, the people you died for, the people you redeemed, the people you justified, the people you glorified, the people you set on high with you in thrones of glory. I bless the people of God today. Christ is in them. There is hope for the glory of God in their life. And I pray these things and bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo! I love God. I'll be back at 6 o'clock. Thank you for coming today. God bless you.